Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Here Be Monsters Radio on Blog Talk, and tonight with me are my two excellent co-hosts, Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson. And gentlemen, it has been a couple of weeks of, it's just nonstop now. I mean, basically it's quiet, but it's nonstop, isn't it?
Oh, never ends. Every day it's something new, several times a day sometimes.
Yeah.
We're getting snowed on quite heavily up here in Minneapolis today. Since the last couple days, we've probably gotten about 9 inches of snow where I'm at. And I'm looking out the window, and it looks like a winter wonderland. There's no sign of spring. So I don't know what the hell's going on. It never snows on tax day, but it is this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is all predicted in the global warming models. When the Earth warms up, the Gulf Stream slows down. Henceforth, it doesn't shove the Alberta Clipper currents up farther north. So, in other words, the currents are still dipping down south. Now, you know, of course, you hear those on Fox News and stuff. Gee, where this global warming is, huh? Well, this is what happens with global warming.
Yeah.
It's not so much that you're going to have palm trees in Michigan or, you know, whatever. It's going to change the weather patterns. And this is what we're seeing. It's going to hurt the farmers. You know, when it's cold and stuff and the farmer wants to get his soybeans in or whatever crops, if it's too damn cold, it postpones it, and then he's not going to get the amount of true growing season he needs to grow a decent crop. This is the
right now here, it's probably about freezing, no more than that. I know that. And the snow is still coming down a little bit. It's just and it's blowing to beat hell. So it's one of those clippers we're getting on here this weekend. It's terrible.
And I guess it's still true, but Minnesota is one of the largest corn-growing states in the union.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get this cold weather, guess what happens to the availability of your corn crop?
Oh, it goes straight to hell. Yeah, they've got it. Well, you know, it's supposed to warm up this week quite a bit, but we're supposed to get a mix of snow and rain, too. So you just never know. It's so unpredictable these days. This climate change is definitely a real thing. It's not a myth, and it's definitely happening. So,
absolutely, Jack.
Well, you can take some comfort in the fact that Scott Pruitt is the EPA master.
Yeah.
What a scoundrel.
No, he's completely corrupt, as are most of the people that are in office right now in the Washington area.
Oh,
a majority of them are. I mean, when you can figure out, when the press puts out clearly that McConnell, Rubio, and Ryan accepted Russian oligarch campaign funding, that tells you a lot.
It's pretty bad. And Ryan's going to retire now, he says, so we'll see. You know, let's get him the hell out of there. At least one guy's down. We got to concentrate on Trump and O'Connell and the rest of those clowns.
He's got something lined up as far as influence in some ways, be it, you know, influence peddling from some special interest group there, the lobbyists.
Yeah.
That's only a sidebar. He's done his job, and he's going to go home and just bask in the money that he just raked in after 6 or 7 years. That's
all. True, but he ain't done yet.
These guys don't care. Why do you think they aren't? You know, there's over 30 of them that aren't running again. Why do you think? Not only that, but they're trying to hold on to the pension that the Congress provides them.
Which is very generous.
As long as they haven't been caught doing anything bad or indicted or censured or anything. And this has got to stop, and it's all got to be reconciled, in my opinion. It really does. The next person who steps into the Oval Office is going to be pivotal in how this country is going to end up for the next 100 years.
Well, it used to be a climate of public service, and you were honored to go to Washington or even to your own state house and serve the public and
yeah.
provide for them in some way possible. But now it's turned into a what can I get for myself? That's what it's turned into. It's just absolutely gone on its ear, and it's insane.
Well, you know,
exactly what Trump has got in his pocket from the White House. You know, every time he goes down to Mar-a-Lago down there in Florida,
yep.
he is getting hotel rent and pay for every Secret Serviceman and everybody, the secretaries and stuff that come down there. He's
yeah,
making
he's
a
raping
dent
us.
Going down there.
Well, you know, there was an interesting article published yesterday by Adam Davidson at the New Yorker, Michael Cohen and the End Stage of the Trump Presidency is the title of it, and everybody should read it because the son of a bee nailed it. He talked about, you know, how it's been, where it's gone. And then he says that the narrative will become wildly understood is that Donald Trump did not sit atop a global empire. He was not an intuitive genius and tough guy who created billions of dollars of wealth through fearlessness. He had a small, sad operation, mostly run by his two older children, you know,
right.
Dumb Beaver and Beavis or whatever they butthead guys.
Beavis and Butthead, the son-in-law and son.
Michael Cohen, a lousy lawyer, and Cohen is a very low-rank lawyer, who barely
right.
keeps up the pretenses of lawyering, who now faces an avalanche of charges from taxicab bank fraud to money laundering and campaign finance violations. Cohen, Donald Jr., and Ivanka money ties their willingness to sign contracts with people rejected by all sensible partners. This has been going on for years.
Yeah.
Even if the Trump organization left money on the table, taking millions of dollars here, $5 million there, even though the service they provided, giving branding legitimacy to blatantly sketchy projects, was worth far more, it was not a company that built value over decades, accumulating assets and leveraging wealth, and everybody in Palm Beach knows that shit. It burned
yeah, yeah.
through whatever goodwill and brand value it established as quickly as possible and then moved on to the next scheme. And who told us this? Who campaigned on this and said, you want to know what this guy is? Here, look, see, listen. And she went out there and she laid it on the table about it.
Yep.
Sit, laid
yep.
it on the table about all of it. And the goddamn media sat back and listened to every catchphrase of hate that Trump had to pull out because if it bled, it led, and it bled. These
well,
guys,
Trump manipulates the media. He's expert at it, and he's been doing it since he started running, and even before. He's always able to catch a reporter's eye or ear and turn it into something positive for him, and that's got to stop. That's just ridiculous. This is my current post is dealing with all the corruption in the White House. This is without a doubt the most corrupt administration in our entire history. Everywhere you look, there's a scoundrel. Everywhere you look.
That's old news, Jack. I mean, everybody realizes it, and those who are saying it's not true are the ones who are either afraid of how they're going to land under it or just, you know, as far as the majority of, you know, the public, over 70% of the American people are chomping at the bit for Mueller to bring down indictments that removes this man from office. That means a
yep.
bunch of Trump voters are out there going, oh, my God, what did we
and
do?
And only 13% are opposed. There are some people in there that aren't sure, but the overwhelming majority of people want this investigation to continue and to lead to something, to some very strong indictments and jail sentences. Let's get real
yes.
here. We got to throw these guys
yes.
in jail.
Tangibly, yes. And it's the thing of it is, too, that it's like Obama's major mistake in entering office was not charging Cheney and Bush with war crimes in this whole
right.
game. That should have been done. He was
right.
definitely not doing it. He really was. Olbermann was right. There's no longer a major investigation into Donald Trump focused solely on collusion with Russia. No, there are now at least two, including a thorough review of Cohen's correspondence in the Southern Manhattan offices, which he cannot give any kind of a pardon for. This Scooter Libby thing is number one. I guarantee you, it's a revenge act by Trump to say fuck you to everybody who's trying to say he can't get away with it. And it's to dangle it out in front of everybody who's under indictment right now. He's going to say, I'm going to pardon y'all. But not only Cohen, but Manafort will be implicated. So will Flynn. And they'll go into state Supreme Court for the Southern Manhattan County. And they will be indicted. They will be held accountable. And I think they'll get jail time. There's a lot of shit coming down.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as long as it's a state charge and not a federal one, Trump is powerless. He can't pardon
a
state crime.
No, and this is,
absolutely.
And this is why it's being done the way it's being done. Mueller's no fool. He is completely, and here we have the glorious return of James Comey, who has since last week, his publishers allowed his book to go to media. And all they've been doing is reading it out loud on air. And now he's taking interviews. He did one already. He's about to do another where he tells the truth. And the fact of the matter is, when you put Comey up against Donald fucking Trump, the idiot boy, the bully,
yep.
And you see the two of them and you listen to Comey and he does hold for himself, for his job, for his service and the people he works with, up against Trump and all of his flailing rage right now on Twitter, on camera, wherever. I mean, they said that on Friday, the temper tantrum he was having in the White House was so awful that people left. They were afraid. I mean, afraid of this bully.
He's a sick, sick, sick man. He belongs in an institution, not in the White House.
He's furious and he's terrified. He's terrified because prosecutors are now looking at it with everything Cohen has stupidly recorded and kept.
That's a gift.
And what he has fixed, as they say, the intermediary role that he has played between not just Donald Trump, but Don Jr., Eric, and Ivanka.
Jared, the whole corrupt crew.
The whole, damn it, wasn't a slick Politico that showed up before us here. And most of us knew it. Jack's been writing it all along. We've all posted and discussed this in social media. The truth is that everybody knows that he's a con man.
He's a pampered little baby con man.
And Cohen played the part of deal maker through the period of expansion into global partnerships with all kinds of sketchy criminal oligarchs from the Middle East and the Far East into Russia. And this is who Trump does business with. Everybody knows about his mafioso New York real estate deal. And his laundering money for Russian oligarchs.
Well, the reason he went over to Russia was because U.S. banks quit lending to him. They saw he was a bad risk, and so he went with open arms to Russia, or Russia had open arms for him, and they just couldn't get over the great deal they thought they were getting by getting Donald Trump on their rolls.
Let me interject this story here real quick, if I may.
This is decades old, guys. This wandering money. through his realism.
Look,
oh, it's been going on for years.
When he went to the New York American banks to get hundreds of millions of dollars to build Trump Taj Mahal in Jersey, there was the bank lender, the bank one that, you know, certifies whether or not you can make it. He turned him down. He says, you have no equity here. You have nothing. You can't get this kind of money. Trump went to the senior members of the bank, and he kept saying, well, my Trump name's worth $100 million alone, you know. I'll put my name on anything. It's instantly, you know, that's his collateral was his name. And they said, yeah, we can't repossess that now, can we? Bottom line, he went to the president and the board of the bank, got the man fired. They gave him the money, and within less than 2 years, the Taj Mahal was totally bankrupt, and the bank lost every damn bit of their money.
Yep.
Well, good for them, you know.
Exactly. But, yeah, the man who was they delegated to be responsible turned Trump down, and Trump turned around and got him fired. This
yeah,
is the kind
that's
of bull-
that fits the bill.
And nice. The son of a bitch has dedicated gall to tweet out on Saturday, mission accomplished. Did this guy?
Oh, what a bastard! Well, he has no originality in any of his thought. He steals from other people. There's a perfect example. He steals from other people.
What the complete political fuck up that was for Bush.
But
it's
mission accomplished for Bush was the biggest.
Yeah,
the people pointed that and said, what the hell is this? You're not finished. All you did was screw everything up. This isn't an accomplished mission. You didn't accomplish anything. The whole terminal. When Daddy Bush wrote his book, he said he was misled by Cheney and Rumsfeld. He says, but not trying to remove the blame for my son, but they basically lied to him and led him astray. Because all it was had the wallets and the of Halliburton. That's the oil. That's all the second Iraq war was about. The oil industry thought they could get a hold of those oil wells.
Who the fuck cares? He took the oath of office. Not Cheney. Cheney took an oath of office that meant nothing to him. But Bush took the oath of office as president of the United States. And on May Day 2003, He stood on the decks of the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Big propaganda ploy.
In front of a massive sign saying mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. I remember how disgusting that was.
And the fact of the matter was that at the time, the whole thing was falling apart behind him. I mean, it's just, it's time for, and it's time for us all to positively support one another in the responsibility of our citizenship and to put the bickering and the fucking all of this God-blessed BS about who's better, the old man Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton would have had a better. It's all that has to go. Get it.
Exactly. And, we've got to unite and be united and in a strong, fierce opponent of all this chump corruption and all this bullshit that's going on right now.
One thing we don't need is another old man to step up and say, I'm going to run and I'm going to be a good president.
I don't think Biden's going to run. I don't think Sanders is going to run either.
Look, I'm a big fan of Biden, but he's too old. So Biden grew up in Wilmington, just a little bit north on the peninsula there where I grew up.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a straight shooter.
How's that going? You're no longer qualified because politics and the world situation demands a presence that is devoted, sincere, and uncompromising, and has a healing nature. Someone who is not going to rage into war, or make those compromises that say, the old way, the old political thrust is what we have to walk away from. And if we don't get it now, we're fucked. We are fucked.
We need a very clear-headed woman as president. We got to get past all this bullshit, all this sexism. We got to get past it and get somebody in there that has brains, it will be listened to, and is smart enough to get around all the bullshit in Washington. And we need that woman so badly right now.
You know, Jack, I'm not saying it should be a woman, but my preference would be towards one. But
it would help. It would help the ticket big time because people would vote for her.
I think so. Yes, but the thing is that we need just what you said. We need fair, uncompromising, valued. Because what we're fighting here is a moral war.
Oh, it's so immoral. It's absolutely sickening and revolting. It's just terrible.
In America, there are a lot of people that are saying this is the last battle of civil war. Completely agree with that. But I do see the purpose in making the alignment. This is not just confined to America. There are a lot of people in Britain right now who are very perplexed and very chagrined about the Brexit vote. They are sorry.
Sorry finding out that they were manipulated by the same Cambridge analytical group with disinformation for those who did show up in the polls.
Well,
they voted based on bullshit.
Only Britain and only America got Trump that way. The rest of Europe, all of their leaders were telling them.
Right.
France lost the bullet.
You know, you're being played by Russia here. And people, the general public understood that. They really did. They knew their leaders well enough to know that, I mean, for Christ's sake, guys, who believes a story like Pizzagate? Come on.
You know, Spain threw off this effort by Russia to screw up their democracy. So did France. So did Austria. A lot of countries in Europe were smart about it, and they knew what Russia was up to. The Netherlands is another one, a number of them.
Oh, and look at Iceland. You know, Iceland is what a lot of uber lefty liberals, or I shouldn't use the liberal tag because that pisses them off. Uber lefty, socialist, whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you right now, Iceland is, you know, they did the right thing. They freaking fried their government. Put them in jail. Said that's it. And they fried their bankers too.
And the bankers that manipulated to help crash the economy. Their asses are in jail. Same thing with New Zealand.
Excellent.
And crashing the economy. Their asses in jail.
But the scary part about this is that you know these guys, Putin, Trump, Theresa May. I was surprised to see France join us in this bombing run over in Syria.
Right.
Yeah.
Macron, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's about Iran more than it is about Assad. It's about Iran, and it's also about oil production and profit. And it's about the fact that the Russians and the Chinese have jiggled on over to the side of Putin as far as this Middle East thing goes and are backing Iran very, very quietly and very non-committally, but they did last week. All of these things that have happened because, you know, this asswipe in D.C. told China to go fuck themselves with tariffs. It's just, it's incredible to think that there isn't a powder keg out there that somebody could accidentally throw a match on that could bring war to the shores of this country. If you don't
there is one, and it's on the brink of exploding. And we have a guy at the top of the head of the administration, the president, as I say, who is completely incompetent and unaware and just thinks he knows everything and he thinks he's on top of the world, but he is so deluded it isn't even funny, and that's dangerous, very dangerous for the whole world.
It's true.
Very true, Jack. True.
There's an article making the rounds today on the net that by nationofchange.org, which is not a confirmed valid Facebook site. I don't know if you know this yet. Maybe Wayne does, but now what's going on Facebook is you'll see beside an article a little I, which validates whether or not they know this is a due diligent news source.
Source, okay.
So that
that's a good turn.
Yeah, but they can't validate every article, and the thing is, there are some good pieces out there, but they're not getting the like World Socialist. Mm-hmm. They print or Common Truth, or there's a couple of others that I read their stuff regularly and have for years. And they print, you know, they print like, you know, what's his name? Your friend, Jack, Christopher, you know, the mouth.
Steele? Christopher Steele?
No. Is Hedges.
Hedges, yeah. Chris Hedges, yeah.
Yeah, the truth.
Very bright man.
Common Truths, I think is the name of it. I can't remember at the moment, but I get there and I read there. But they will not give that an eye because they aren't sure that slanted into a very strictly left uber side like Hedges is not propaganda, is what it comes down to. So if it feels like propaganda instead of journalism, it doesn't get the eye. Which most opinion pieces are propaganda of some kind, you know.
Sure.
I posted the piece out of the New Yorker that was about Michael Cohen and the end stage of Trump presidency. It hasn't got an eye on it either because it's, you know, opinion. So you have to intuit your news now on social.
Oh, you do, yeah, no doubt about it. Because there's a lot of bullshit flying around out there, and unfortunately, a lot of people get caught up in it.
It's quite true. It's quite true. I mean, even Apple News has to wait to get a. I think Facebook has a thing against Apple, though. You know, when you get of Apple telling the world. In an interview or a town hall, he's asked, well, if you were Zuckerberg, what would you be doing right now? And he said, I wouldn't be in the position he's in.
I wouldn't be in his position.
And then Zuckerberg was in front of Congress, and the ineptness of those senators, the majority of those Republicans, I mean, when a senator says to Zuckerberg, well, I got a floppy disk in the mail last week that told me I'd have 33 hours online on America Online. Is this what Facebook does? And Zuckerberg just sat there staring at him like, are you first of all, who the hell still has AOL?
Those guys are 20 years behind the times. That's unbelievable. But it's unbelievable. It is. They're crazy.
It's a feeder browser. I mean, the only place it goes is where they want you to go. I mean, nobody uses AOL. It's just you don't even use it as an email, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
But, I mean, if you could have heard some of the shit. Oh, and then there was the Republican senator who said, how come you won't allow Diamond and Silk, you know, those two, I don't know if you guys are aware, there's a duo of black women who are middle-aged who talk smack on YouTube supporting Trump. And they're really crude. They're really just flailing ignorance around. And so over the line, kind of white supremacy in the black world. I don't know.
Weird,
but
yeah.
It's typically Trump. They're called Diamond and Jade, or Jade, something like that. But this is you know, this Republican congressman, because they talk Republican points, or Trump points, really, he puts a poster up with their faces on it saying, why would you, you know, X them out? And it's like, who wouldn't? You know what I mean?
God almighty. Well,
that was something to watch. Those
really, really depraved. The entire scene in Washington is going from bad to very much worse, and it's up to us to rescue their asses, because they can't do it themselves. They're too bought out, and they're too corrupt. The whole damn thing is corrupt.
I think you're right. I know you're. And then we got a gubernatorial race coming up down here in Florida. You know, Scott's running for
Senate.
What do you call him?
He's running against Bill Nelson.
Yeah, he's another old man who knows very little about what's really going on, but we won't go there.
Both of them.
Yeah, but I'd rather have
Bill Nelson's probably the most inept Democrat in the Senate.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's a nice man. He's a very nice man, but I just don't think he's on top of it.
No, he's not. And he doesn't do anything to get himself out of that slug.
That bubble.
But,
yeah.
But I'd rather have him than Rick Scott in that position.
Absolutely.
Nobody is primarying Bill Nelson down here because the Democratic machine that has too much swing still with Debbie Wasserman Schultz is not allowing it. However, Glenn Graham is running against the Republican. She's being primaried in the Democratic Party. And the two men, one black guy and one white guy, are both moderate, who are a little bit more business oriented, which is a real flag, if you ask me. If anybody says they're business oriented right now, that should be a real flag to you.
Absolutely.
It's corrupt. Get away from it. And they're saying, well, you know, Gwen Graham is coming out against all these talking points against how to work against Trump. Well, what do you think it's about right now? First of all, second of all, she's got Gillibrand supporting her and a few other big-time Democrats. I hope to gosh she gets the nomination as the Democrat candidate, because these two guys, I mean, the African-American candidate is limp spaghetti as far as what's wrong with right now. He's just about, let's just slow and easy and do it. You know, it's like, where are you, man?
No,
where?
He's out in left field somewhere.
And then you got all of these other runs coming up. I think it's possible Democrats could take the Senate back. I hope it is.
I think so. There's enough dissatisfaction out there and enough corruptness coming out of Trump and enough ineptness out of Trump that should be enough to tip the scales in our favor. Not to say the Democrats are any better, but they at least show the promise of being better.
Yeah.
There is a miracle factor that says it can be done.
Yeah.
And it looks like things are leaning that way. Now, there's no, you know, the House, yes. Senate, maybe.
You know, you realize 5 or 6 years ago, we would have never been having this discussion. It looked like the House was going to stay Republican for many, many, many years. They'd entrenched themselves so much through gerrymandering and everything else. But, you know, they fucked up big time, and the public is pissed. And that's why they want to change. And that's our opportunity to make things better instead of this same old crap.
Hey, Jack, I had a family friend who was a lawyer. Matter of fact, he was the lawyer who represented Norm Gardner. That's who Ollie North reported to, the CIA guy, Norman Gardner, during the Iran-Contra thing. And trust me, I've got more inside information on that than anybody needs to know.
Yeah.
But he was got his degree, political science degree from Johns Hopkins and his law degree from Johns Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
His favorite quote was, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
And when
no doubt.
Ben's controlling the House for, like you said, for many years and looked like many years more, absolute power corrupted absolutely. That's just the
absolutely.
Nature of the beast.
It's human nature. You know, nobody's perfect, and after a while, those in power get cocky and they get accustomed to their power, and they think it'll last forever, and that's where they make their mistakes, and then it leads to constant political warfare, which is good and bad.
Jack, I gotta say, I mean, you know, when I was a kid, from the time I was till about the time I was about 27 years old, I mean, and I, as a kid, from the time I was like 13, in summers, I helped to campaign for my Uncle Frank to get, you know, to keep his seat in Congress, which he did for nearly 40 years. And, I mean, back when they still, I bartended, for God's sake. I mean, back when they were still swilling whiskey and chomping cigars in the room with the little interns going. And these guys really cared. I mean, and he was
absolutely
from upstate New York, but he worked with Jackson and Kennedy and helped putting the EPA together. And he was damn big on the Whistleblower Act. That was his cause.
Right.
And, I mean, when Watergate happened, I mean, you think for one bloody minute that Nixon allowed the EPA in? Hell no. Those guys walked into his office and said, you either put this through or they'll hear about rat fucking quicker. You know?
The nature of public service, it's no longer public service. It's public grab bag. It's everything for me, me, and my friends. And to hell with you. That's the whole problem.
Well, it's come to its Jesus moment, you know. Look at all of them fleeing Congress. Look at a few of them fleeing the Senate. And the people that are running for, like, these Republican senators, I'd rather see Meghan McCain take her father's seat, you know. Which I believe is possible if he holds his seat and he's still alive, but something happens to him. I think a family member is allowed to fill that position.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. You know, she's younger and has a younger attitude, and she's more aware than a lot of these older Republican set in their wool. Type of guys are, and that she'd be a welcome addition, regardless of party.
Actually, Jack, if you catch her on The View, she's very much old party Republican, but like her father, and that you can live with to a certain
that
degree.
You can live with. It's not your best choice, but it could be a hell of a lot worse.
That's my point, really, in the whole thing, but. Flake and a few others are walking away, and the people that are running for their seats are they're just out of this world Trumpish bullery.
Oh, they're way reactionary wackos. They're off the face of the earth politically. They have absolutely no business running for office, except in this time they're accepted. I don't know why, but it's a mystery of politics these days, how insane politicians can be and still get elected.
Well, you know,
the one that Republican and wants to run for Paul Ryan's seat is a white supremacist.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's how idiotic the Republican Party has gone, because that is the mainline candidate to take over Paul Ryan's seat.
Well, they've gone way far to the right, way off the political table in my book, and I've been saying this for years. And it's getting worse instead of better. They've got to blow themselves into oblivion one of these times, and I hope it'll be this fall.
Oh, geez, yeah. Well, I think you're going to see a blue wave in many areas, but we don't need a wave. We need a tidal wave.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
We need the Republicans have to come to Jesus in such a way as they did when they were just bushwhacked. In the late 50s and early 60s, They changed for a time. They got a little bit more moderate and a little bit more sensible, and that didn't last too long though. Gradually, slowly but surely, special interests and the conservatives, reactionaries I call them, took over, and they've just ruined everything.
Well, that's when you ended up with Goldwater there in was it 64.
Yeah, at least he was honest though. He had honest principles, and he wasn't corrupted by this crazy schema guys that we have right now.
So, Jack, let me ask you a question. How do you think this is going to boil out in the next week or two with Comey on the air constantly being interviewed and giving his side of the story, including the metaphorical mafioso lineup thing he's doing, which is just killer. It's killer. I mean,
yeah. Well, I really don't know, Gwen. You know, I'd like to just jump up and down and clap my hands and go, yeah, all right, we're finally going to get to the bottom of this stuff. But, it's just so jaundiced in Washington right now. It is so terrible. It's so corrupt. It's so polluted. It is so, un-American in many ways. And it's all caused by special interest corruption and money and greed. And this Trump phenomenon is absolutely pathetic, and it's anti-democracy any way you look at it. It is not good for the country.
Of course, but I'm saying about the general American point of view right now, because you got to realize, I know you do, that this country, as well as several countries around the world, but this country most especially, with the corruption and everything that's happening here under Trump, is in a state of social anxiety that has not been allowed since, probably prior to or the outbreak of World War II.
You're talking depression days, Gwen, in certain aspects. That's how devastating it's been, and how demoralized people really are. And they've had their fill of this bullshit. They've been fed bullshit for years and years and years, and they've had enough. And it's time for them to revolt and raise hell and get a responsive Congress in there that is doing responsive things toward the benefit of the country rather than special interests.
Well, FDR put in the work project that put people back to work no matter what.
The CCC and the WPA, yeah, and all that stuff, right?
The WPA, that, and we need something like that. We need a president who's going to come in and say, look, here's the first thing I have to tell you. The first thing you should know is I'm aware we are in a state of emergency in this country. The first politician who does that, honestly looking into the lens, is going to win the hearts of the majority of the people right away.
And that is what is needed. That is so needed.
And then the second thing they do is they have the people already situated in situ, as they say, that will come in and begin to clear out and right the wrongs that have gone on for the last 20 months in D.C. Our EPA, for instance, it's tragic. It's absolutely,
it's turned into the Environmental Pollution Agency. It's pathetic. This Pruitt guy, ought to be boiled in oil. He's terrible.
He should be so corrupt.
He's such a crook.
Well, like the rest of them, they all should be, as my mother used to say, run out of town on a rail.
Exactly.
Feathering sounds pretty good to me. I'll be real spiritual here too.
Well, jab every one of them with a pitchfork right in the ass and keep them running.
I'm not kidding. The first candidate who comes before the cameras and says, "Look, I know that we are in a state of crisis, and I'm here to tell you that I'm ready and able to take the responsibility of bringing the crisis to an end."
We need candor. Exactly.
Yes, we need plain speaking people who don't grab on to the nearest spot out
catchphrase.
or bullet. What we need is people who look. And you know, one of the few people I've seen who's like that is Joe Kennedy III.
Yes, he's very good.
Out of Massachusetts. And there's other candidates who are like that. I've watched this Pam Keith down here. She does these weekly chats on Facebook to people who are supporting her. She's running for something, a congressional seat down here against Brian Mapp. I'll be voting for her, but I've also noticed that she's becoming more of a polished politician than an earnest ex-JAG officer who's concerned about the welfare of the community. I don't think she's any less that. It's just how she's coming off, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's as if some PR, politic PR person got in there to tell her you should do this. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right. By the way, I just wanted to throw a pitch in here. I've got a very good friend from high school. We played in the high school band together. He was like really 2 years behind me. Graduated summa cum laude in business from Salisbury University, which is affiliated with the University of Maryland. But it's the Frank Perdue Business School, very highly accredited.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's also a successful businessman, commercial construction and stuff, and sold his business. And he's now going to run for the state Senate for Delaware here this this election year here. He's gearing up for it. He's got his money together. He asked me to be his little bit of a political advisor and stuff, where he bounces ideas off me and stuff. I've accepted. And he's a very caring, compassionate, running on the Democratic ticket there in Delaware.
He's a true public servant.
Southern part of Delaware is very teabaggerish, but maybe they've had enough that they may try something.
This is the year.
That's what I told him. He and I have been talking about this for the last couple of years, and, you know, we're looking at the situation and evaluating and stuff, and basically with the recent special elections that the Democrats have taken it from the uber-conservative wing nuts.
Right.
In areas that Trump had carried by double digits.
Yeah,
I told him, this is the year.
Wayne,
he's going to do it, drop the hammer now. Yeah.
Wayne, you know, there are certain PR forms you should keep, like the candidate's name. Who is this?
It's Bobby Wheatley in Delaware. He lives in Laurel, Delaware, but he'll be representing for the state Senate there in Delaware, representing the southern part. And the beach areas, like Rehoboth and Lewis and that area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, always
the chicken farmers are the Republicans.
Always use the candidate's name first out of your mouth, because that's what people remember.
Robert Wheatley. That's what the name you want to remember for anybody listening in Delaware. Personally vouch for him. He's a caring man. When he had his business, he was – did everything he could to make sure his employees were getting a good wage, a livable wage, and the medical benefits and everything like that. I speak very highly of him, and I have no problem of publicly supporting him and making note of that. Yes.
That's great. That is great. It's good to hear stuff like that. I don't know of anyone personally who's running for anything right now. I feel a little out of the loop. Jack, how's it looking in Minnesota?
Very snowy right now, but politically, Dayton, you know, this Tim Pawlenty guy, I've had plenty of that guy. He used to be he was the former governor. He was the governor when he had somewhat of a hand in that bridge collapsing, because he wouldn't approve funding for some repairs and stuff like that. I don't quote me on that, but it's something along those lines. And so he got out of here real quick, and then he went to Washington and became a lobbyist, made all kinds of money and friends, and now he's going to come back here. He thinks he's going to capture the GOP nomination for governor, and I can't stand this guy. He's terrible, and he's such a smarmy guy. And I don't know who the Democrats have a couple of people that are running for governor, but you know, nobody's really lighting the flames. So Dayton's going to retire. He's at his term limit now, and he's getting pretty old anyway. And he's been good, but not he hasn't been real flashy or, you know, that sort of thing. But he's done a good job on behalf of the people. He is devoted to public service, and we need more politicians like that, more public servants. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I think on these House races, the Democrats are going to win. Thank God Michelle Bachmann's retired, long retired and out of the way. And I think I'm not too worried about Senate stuff in Minnesota. It's pretty blue state.
I'm wondering if you've got a candidate who's a Republican running. You have a very good Democrat who got forced to leave that's in your state that could help out by, say, you know, propping.
Oh, Tim Walz is running for governor on the Democratic ticket. He's in the southern region, the southern southeastern region of the state, and he's a good man.
I hope he has some good advice and good people working on his campaign.
I hope so too. It's up in the air for the Democrats right now. Rebecca Otto's out there. She's very prevalent. She's sending emails out left, right, and center, and she wants to be the governor and stuff too. So it's up in the air. We just don't really know. I just do not want Tim Pawlenty. I've had plenty of that guy. He's disgusting.
I was going to say, Jack, as you and I have spoken about often, I am very, very familiar with that bridge that crosses the Mississippi River up there.
Right, 35 bridge, yeah.
Strong water. Yeah. I was being chauffeured around by the locals, the ref firm I had in the area there, and the sales staff that was with them. And, they were told me many times, said, that might have been a shorter route to go over that bridge. It's not safe, and we're not going over it. And I said, well, yeah, you definitely make sure I get home to my wife. And it wasn't but a year or so, or maybe a year and a half, that it actually collapsed and killing people.
Yeah,
and
it killed people and ruined lives of many. It's just terrible.
He is as guilty as if he had blown it up himself.
Absolutely. I agree. This guy, he thinks our memories are short and we don't remember this stuff. It is so disgusting. He's another glad handler that just wants to get out there and capitalize for himself, you know, for his own ego, for his own money, for his own future. That's all he gives a shit about, you know. He's a disgusting man, and he does not deserve to be governor of any state at any time. He's had his chance, and he blew it, so to hell with him.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what, Minnesota's had some really different governors. Jesse Ventura, the wrestler.
He was a knucklehead too.
He even said, we're going to do it. He said, we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't any time that he had the whole damn state in a damn collapse.
Oh, by the way.
Well, it goes to show you that people are fed up and they'll grab at almost anything. That's why he got elected. And, you know, people found out pretty quickly he could dish it out, but he couldn't take it, and he got out right away. That guy's a big phony too.
Exactly. Well, come on, he's a professional wrestler. It's not real.
I agree. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and his administration was real unreal too.
Exactly. It wasn't real.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, you know, about a week ago or so, Arnold Schwarzenegger got put in for heart surgery that was supposed to be standard, and it got a little more serious than that. And he is now fully recovering, but you can tell by his message on Instagram that he's not, you know, his usual vibrant self, but he looks good, and I just want to wish him well and recovery, because as a Republican, I think he's a good example.
Right, I agree. Right. Yeah, we could do a lot worse than he, and we have done a lot worse. Mitch McConnell's one good example. Paul Ryan's another. and that goofball that ran the governor of Kansas. What was his name? He's an absolute moron. He bankrupted the state. He's just an idiot.
Yeah. Well, he's going to cut pays to teachers and police officers and all that kind of stuff. He just destroyed the Kansas. Speaking of the Kentucky, did you see where the governor of Kentucky said that at a teacher's rally they were molesting little kids and, you know, like kitty humping? And then he turned around and said, "Oh, I need to send my apologies. I was whipping up the basically was whipping up the nut jobs."
Yeah.
And telling lies like that, and then he apologized, telling lies. And screw you, I'm not accepting your apology.
Do you know who has to wake up and run for McConnell seat? I'll tell you who I work for. Her name is Ashley Judd, and she's a great humanitarian, and she knows a lot about politics, and she studied up. She listened to some dumbass Democrat Party politichecks tell her she didn't have the experience, so she didn't run before. But I think it's her time to run. I
agree. And you know, I don't think he's up for re-election this year. But I think maybe in 2020 he is, and that would be an opportune time, because we'll be flush with stronger majorities then. We'll actually control the House at least, if not the Senate too, and we'll be able to really make a good push then, and she'd be an excellent choice to run against Mitch McConnell, the constipated turtle. That guy's ridiculous.
He's a complete fuck-up, is what he is. He's so corrupt and always has been. He reminds me of a refined Jesse Helms.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. The thing that pisses me off, and I blame Obama, was when Obama allowed him to appoint the Supreme Court justice under his tenure and let Mitch McConnell postulate that Trump put somebody in. And, that's where Obama should have pulled out a pair of kahunas and bitch slapped him with him.
Yeah,
that was nothing.
Obama was far too civil and courteous to really survive in that kind of atmosphere. He should have battle axed that guy into oblivion.
Well, not only that, but the fact that Obama, he thought it was better that he keep his mouth shut so much about Trump being under investigation as the election was coming to its.
He should have been screaming like a foghorn.
Yeah, he was walking a fine line, and of course, you know, there's also that Jesse Jackson factor in there too, where Jesse Jackson had to put up with a lot of guff being the first black man in professional baseball. Well, when I say I mean professional baseball, the American League and National League football or baseball.
Yeah. Major League Baseball. Yeah.
You've kind of been a catch-22, and I can. See that, but something as important as that, he should have at least stood up and stood a little stronger, I'd say.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we're at the end of the hour. So, Jack, will you get us out of here and remind everybody to come back?
Everybody, we'll see you next week. We want to hear from you. We want to get your input on stuff. And you can find me blogging regularly at the Saturday Afternoon Post. And I will always, every week, encourage you to keep pushing forward. We've been backward for too long. We got to keep pushing forward.
Very good. And for me, my blog site is the Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. I have personal stories there of life's experiences and the things that I've dealt with and I've been involved with. All true stories worth reading. Gwen?
And I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry down here in South Florida. And one of our sponsors, besides Saturday Afternoon Post, is daughtersofisis.com. Where you'll find aromacology that expresses the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And thank you for listening today. We will be back next week at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening. This is Here Be Monsters Radio.
Thank you, Gwen. And thank you, Wayne. And thank you, listeners. Come back next week. We'll be here for you. Have a great week.
We're out.
Good night, all.